Welcome to the PHP Serverless News Podcast with your host, Bob Bloom. A production of South LaSalle. Welcome to my 10th episode of PHP Serverless News, Internal Scaling. Today is Wednesday, March 26, 2025. This podcast is where I cover serverless news from a shameless PHP point of view. This is your podcast host, Bob Bloom. On my last episode, which was months and months ago, I talked about increasing the frequency of the show from once per month to three times per month, with each episode devoted to a specific format. But upon further review, there are too many formats in the show, especially because the one format that gets crowded out is the one that's in the name of the show. The three formats are news, trends, and profiles, but I have extracted out profiles into its own show called the PHP Serverless Profiles. This show will only be about news and industry trends. I'm not decided if I'm going to do one format per episode or combine them or a bit of both, and I'm not sure about how frequent and how long each show should be, so I'm going to see where things settle with the show instead of like I did in my last episode, and commit to something. I want to thank my first two interpreter supporters of my PHP serverless project, of which this podcast is a part of. Toga Erkan and Luke Alia, thank you. It is not easy being first. And thank you for taking that very first leap. You can listen to this podcast on my website, RSS, Spotify, YouTube, and on YouTube Music. I have three other podcast shows, my commentary podcast, The Bob Bloom Show, of course, my profiles podcast, and my upcoming Bob Bloom Interviews show. These are the seven things that I think about serverless. Serverless is a bullshit marketing term, denoting neither an actual technology nor actual technological process. Serverless is, at best, a placeholder term for features. The two dominant features are server abstraction and scale. Since serverless denotes features, any technology that delivers server abstraction and scale are relevant to serverless. Serverless platforms and technologies are not fungible. Any given platform or technology is not necessarily replaceable by another given platform or technology. And since not fungible, it is important to understand what use cases any given platform or technology satisfies. Two common characteristics of serverless platforms are variably priced and enabled to SSH. Links referenced in this episode are listed in my notes at phpserverlessnews.com, episode 10. I want to catch up with some of the things that have been in my notes for a while since I took a podcasting hiatus. I'm not sure if these are news item trends, a bit of both. Now, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. I always pronounce it wrong. Spati. Please excuse me. Spati's fork, F-O-R-K, package is hardly new. Its first commit was 4 years ago. Quoting directly from this package's readme, this package is a lightweight solution for running PHP code concurrently. Excuse me. This package makes it easy to run PHP concurrently behind the scenes. Concurrency is achieved by forking the main PHP process to one or more child tasks. I don't know about you, but I really don't know what forking the main PHP process to one or more child tasks means. But I'm learning, and I might get to this actually in my upcoming commentary show. This package relies on PHP's process control extensions, also known as PCNTL. Spati warns that PHP's process control extensions only works in CLI processes, not in a web context. The Laravel framework has a new concurrency package, which uses its process package itself. It's a couple of years old, and Spati's fork package is an optional require. To me, the significance is the timing. The timing of this new concurrency package corresponds to Laravel Cloud's development. It's pure supposition on my part, the idea that they did this to support something that they are doing with Laravel Cloud. Whatever they are doing, it's there in the framework for us to utilize. I know. What does this have to do with serverless? Well, one of the things I think about serverless is that one of the two dominant features is scale. And scale is generally thought to be achieved through more execution environments, more pods, more this, more that. But I think there's a push within our PHP community to seek scale by looking inward, inward to PHP, inward into its internals, and even inward to Linux itself. If nothing else, just reading Spatty's fork, not a swear word, fork, package is an education. An interesting RFC has been recently accepted into PHP version 8.5. Add persistent curl share handles. Stay with me. From the RFC, PHP, while generally, this is from the RFC. PHP, while generally stateless by default, occasionally provides forms of persistence for connections. Persistence allows PHP scripts to eliminate the overhead of establishing a connection on subsequent requests, which can improve performance and stability. Curl, a popular URL transfer library made available as a core extension in PHP, provides the ability to share data between curl handles via a share interface. The PHP extension supports this functionality in curl share init and related functions. The PHP extension does not. I'm rereading that and it's not sinking in. Support persistent curl share handles. Okay, the PHP extension does not support persistent curl share handles. Connections are only shared between handles within a single SAPI request. This RFC proposes to enable users to create persistent curl share handles. I think it's pretty clear that I'm trying to chase the technicals. The PHP page for this new function distills this down to: initialize a persistent curl share handle with the given share options. Handles created by this function will not be destroyed at the end of the PHP request. If a persistent share handle with the same set of share options is found, it will be reused. You know, maybe I am being crazy here, but the way I look at it is an inward look at achieving scale. But I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass. I'm barely keeping up with the technicals. But I am learning, and I'm alerted to this as another rabbit hole to dive into. Have you heard of Vercel's new fluid compute? Quoting from the website, traditional serverless wastes idle time. It fails to efficiently utilize available resources during periods of inactivity. Fluid maximizes available compute time. This significantly optimizes your compute footprint and resource efficiency. Back in October, Vercel published a post titled "In Function Concurrency Now in Public Beta." Say that five times fast. In Function Concurrency allows a single function instance to handle multiple invocations concurrently, improving resource utilization by taking advantage of idle time in existing function instances. Traditionally, serverless architecture maps one function instance to a single invocation. Within function concurrency, overlapping invocations can increase efficiency by 20 to 50%, reducing gigabyte hours and lowering costs. On the same day, Vercel published another post that they published called Serverless Servers, Efficient Serverless Node.js with In-Function Concurrency. Quoting from the subheading, History of Serverless for Interactive Workloads, and I'm quoting there, when AWS Lambda introduced functions as a service, it revolutionized batch workloads by mapping one function instance to one invocation. However, this model struggles with interactive dynamic workloads, where single user requests are tied to one function instance, which sit idle when the computer is waiting for the backend to respond. These inefficiencies become even more apparent with AI, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Within function concurrency, Vercel Functions breaks away from Lambda's one-to-one mapping from invocation to compute leading to substantial efficiency wins. That's just a mouthful. All right. Because Vercel uses Lambda, I personally think there are two types of Lambda. The first is what I call Lambda Classic, which is my own riff on CoClassic. Lambda Classic is AWS's original conception of serverless as a purely compute service. They are, after all, Amazon Web Services. But pretty much the only thing they offered that was not a service was compute. They had EC2, but they wanted to offer a facility where customers could throw them some code and they would just run it. Compute as a service. And if they could pull it off, they could charge compute as per use. Well, they conjured up a contraption that spins up a thing replete with all the fixins to run code. This thing runs on the thing that runs on the thing, runs on EC2. The thing that is replete with all the fixins to run your code is the execution environment. It runs on a container, which runs on a micro VM, which runs blah, 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 whatever. They called this whole thing Lambda, and the server within Lambda is the execution environment. You throw code at Lambda, it spins up an execution environment, it runs your code on that execution environment. That's AWS's word for it, execution environment. When I say throw code, I mean a couple of lines of code, something quick and defined, you know, such as you might do when you want to do something with an external file before you save it to S3. Entire applications running on Lambda is a different thing. Probably irrelevant to my little story anyways. The underlying concept is whenever you throw code at Lambda to run, it spins up a new execution environment to run it. And when it finishes running your code, the execution environment is thrown out. And I know that that's the concept. I know that. That's not how it works practically. Now, Vercel says they have a problem. One function instance which sit idle when the compute is waiting for the backend to respond. If you're calling an API in your code, the execution environment is running, but it's not doing anything. It's just waiting for the API's response. But, of course, you pay for waiting. Vercel wants to do something they call in function concurrency. They want to get the execution environment to do something else while it waits for that API response. I mean, can you do that? Can you have the execution environment do something else while it's waiting? I didn't think that was even part of the universe of possibilities, but it looks like the answer is yes. Lambda has a lot of internal applications, and they're designed as APIs. And that's how they talk to each other, and I assume each API has its own dedicated development team. That's an assumption. And I assume that they're internal APIs. I assume that not even a value-added reseller was privy to these APIs. There it is. Vercel says that their idea was to have the function open up a secure TCP socket back to the Lambda function invocation service and use that socket to stream back responses, even if the actual Lambda invocation doesn't support streaming. Because they're talking to one of those internal APIs. I think that from what they're reading, they're connecting to the regular Lambda invocation that everybody can call. Maybe there's a way to pull for status to see if the Lambda's execution environment is running but waiting. I'm assuming that Vercel is referring to Lambda's function invocation service. maybe Vercel's own service that calls Lambda is also called the function invocation service. I mention this because of the following amazing paragraph in Vercel's blog post. As traffic reaches our data center, traffic is routed through a function load balancer to the function invocation service. The function invocation service manages connections ranging from a single function instance up to 100,000 instances per function. It ensures traffic is routed to a function invocation service likely to have in-flight invocations for the desired function instances. When an invocation request arrives, the service checks for available instances, and if one exists, forwards the request to it. I think this translates to we invoke a shit ton of code on Lambda. We have so many Lambda execution environments running at any given moment that the chances that there is a Lambda execution environment running but not doing anything are huge. And we hunt down these do-nothing execution environments. We give them brand new code to run. They run this new code and then get back to what they were doing before. Since no new execution environments were spun up, AWS does not build Vercel the VIG for an execution environment. Since it's running anyways, AWS does not build Vercel fresh charges for running code. Vercel can bill you, but itself theoretically is using Lambda for free. That results in a theoretical 100% marginal revenue for Vercel, as I assume it bills its customers, but not fully at a discount. It's all pure profit, theoretically. Now, technically, this is mind-boggling that a Lambda user can inject code right into a running execution environment. To me, that's mind-boggling. It looks to me like Vercel had an idea for a feature. They saw that their idea had a technical possibility of working, and then they worked more on that feature, and that feature was so kick-ass, technically and financially, they released it as a product. But what relevance is this to PHP? Well, if Vercel can do it, maybe another platform that accommodates PHP can do it. And if it were possible to run PHP as a pure binary on Vercel, maybe PHP devs could avail themselves to Vercel's serverless platform. And actually looking into Vercel's on my radar for my Profiles podcast. But for now, what of PHP code running as a binary? Well, this episode's already too long, so I'm going to leave that for the next PHP serverless news episode. Thank you for listening to this 10th episode of my PHP serverless news podcast, Internal Scaling. I am not quite settled on my production schedule for this podcast show. However, my next episode is probably going to be up within a couple of weeks. You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.